Good morning. Are you sure? Good morning. Then let's stand together and sing this morning. Hosanna, praise is rising.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you, we turn to you, hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you, we long for you, 'cause when we see you, find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
We want to lift up his name this morning and worship him, but right now, why don't you shake hands with someone around you and say, I'm glad to see your smiling face at church this morning. Sing this morning, Hail to the King.
Bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts. right on our praise, you are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze, let your kingdom come, let your name be raised, hear the song of the redeemed, be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word, let praise arise, heaven and earth, sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne, power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King. Bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze, let your kingdom come, let your name be raised, hear the song of the redeemed, be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word, let praise arise, heaven and earth, sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne, power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King, hail to the King, hail to the King. Hear the song of the redeemed, be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word, let praise arise, heaven and earth, sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne, power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King, hail to the King, hail to the King.
That's what we want to do, is we want to sing praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can be seated. Let's sing together this morning, Mighty Cross.
On the day that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. On his brow a crown of sorrow, for a King whose weakness was our strength, no word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For His blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. The dawn of resurrection floods the night as hope prevails to shine. Salvation waits, our chains to break, and we rise. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For His blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ, my victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is won for me.
Sing it again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ, my victory.
On the day He comes in glory to reveal the fullness of His reign, our hearts will bow before the sound of Jesus' name.
Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the reason I'm alive. For His blood has set me free. It will never lose its power for me. It will never lose its power for me. It will never lose its power.
Aren't you thankful for what Christ did on the cross for us? Took our sins forever. We don't have to pay the price anymore. Christ died for us. He took our sins. Let's sing together this morning. Let's stand, if you would, and sing, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God."
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
This morning, if you would.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We just give you the praise this morning. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here this morning and worship you. Help our hearts and our minds to be focused on you. God, thank you for this time of year and the graduation season. Lord, lift up the students that have walked across that stage, Lord, and graduated high school. Lord, they're getting ready to make a step into a new life, Lord, that they're going to learn real quickly what that's about. And we just lift them up to you, Lord. Be with them, bless them, honor them. And most importantly, Lord, allow them to honor you and follow you all the days of their lives. Lord, thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can be seated. A few years ago, we found out that my wife had a problem with her brain. It was something she was born with, and she was going to have brain surgery. And she was getting worse just continuously. It would be the place where certain things would happen. It would be lights, or she would move a certain way, and she would just pass out like she was having a seizure, but it wasn't that. And we didn't know what it was, and so we finally found a doctor that would take her case, and it was a thing called Chiari. And so she was facing brain surgery. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be. We didn't know if she would be paralyzed. We didn't know it could affect her ability to speak or walk or anything. It was in the cerebellum. And so it was a very low point in our lives. And we didn't know what to do. We were shocked. My wife was listening one day to the radio, listening to a Christian radio station, and she heard this song. And it was called Be Still and Know That He Is God. That song ministered to us, because sometimes all you can do is just be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still, be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His chest. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still. Be still.
I believe at this time we just, do we have children's church? I just see this up here and they already know to go. Perfect. Good morning. My name is Mark Scribner. I am the youngest son of Jay Scribner, whom I believe you all already know. Do you guys ever expect things? Like, I'm one who lives in expectation. When I go to the mailbox, I'm really letting you into part of my life here. Like, when I get a letter, I totally expect it to be like a check for every bill that I ever have. Like I just really do. Not like a publisher's clearinghouse type of a thing, but I'm just like, well, why wouldn't they send me? You know, why wouldn't the Lord give me that? I literally just operate, and I've always operated like that, with this kind of an expectation. And I tell you that this morning to tell you that I've actually come here today with great expectations. I've come here today to believe that God is going to do something great with you all today. I really believe that. I believe that today, many of you are going to be able to look back on today, which I think is the 20th of May, right? Today's the 20th? Yeah, okay. So I firmly believe that many of you are going to be able to look back in your calendar days, weeks, months, years, decades from now, and look at today as a line of demarcation in your life. This is the expectation I've come. This is how I've come to this. I don't know if you read the Bible very often, but people that have an encounter with the Most High God, those people leave changed. They're always different. They speak differently or they don't speak. They walk differently or they don't walk. It is my prayer, it is my expectation that today is that line of demarcation in this church at Mountain Grove First Baptist Church, that today is the day that you all will begin some great and intense healing. Amen? Amen. Many of you know my mom and dad. I am married to an amazing woman. Similar to Jim Posey, I married way up in my life, and she will be here at the second service. I have four kids. Just a quick little bit about me. I've worked many jobs. Like, if you look at my resume, it's very funny. I'm 40 years old. People are like, you've done all of this in your 40 years of life. Literally all over the world. For 12 years, I was an associate pastor in Kansas. I got to do a lot of the same stuff that that Jim does. There's a couplet that I was told one time that I think really, if you guys don't know what a blessing the Lord has given you in Jim Posey and in his wife Julie, there's a couplet that goes like this. It says, "It takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well." And I'll tell you, like, Jim, I applaud you in what you are doing and what I hear and see. So, man, I've been there with you in those trenches. Many of you were part of a ministry that I had the privilege of the Lord allowing me to start called Garments of Praise. In fact, we've seen in the 5.5 years that we've been in existence over 200 people come to the Lord in that ministry. In fact, I've got a picture. The next picture is actually of people lined up outside of this church last year. It's my understanding that maybe we're praying about the potential of doing another one of those here. And I'm excited to just to see what God can do. I was talking to Danita Prock this morning just about the amazing stories of what God is doing in your church because you all were willing to get messy in ministry. Yeah, and I'm excited to hear that. I love stories like this. I just want to give you a heads up in just a little bit. I can already tell by the vast number of people that are sitting in the back and the huge gap in the middle here that we're going to have an issue at some point when I ask for some volunteers. There's going to be a point later, so just go ahead and get that feeling in your throat like, oh no, he's going to ask me. I will straight up call you out if you don't come. So I'm going to need 5 people. You'll know when it's time because I'll say I need 5 volunteers. I'm going to need 5 volunteers to help me with something. You're going to come up on stage. I promise to embarrass you. So anyway, just be ready for that. So I was going to start this message. The title of this message is, Do You Want to Get Well? And I was going to start this message with some health statistics. And I was going to say, X number of people have this disease. And I was going to say, X percent of these people have cancer. Or X out of Y people are on drugs. I was going to ask you if you were surprised that the ages 18 months to 5 years is the number one prescribed drug of antidepressants. 18 months to 5 years old is the number one age bracket of depressants. And then we were going to segue into this discussion about the church and the health of the church and how sin is rampant in our churches and how it's hard to tell the difference between the inside of a bar and the inside of the church, except for the smell of beer, but not always. Or how, as believers, we tout grace. We love to say, I'm saved by faith through grace, not of works, so that no one can boast about it. But if any one of our other brothers and sisters stumbles, we grant them 0 grace. In fact, we love to destroy and kick and kill and then shoot again just to make sure they're dead, other believers. I was going to talk about that. But I was speaking to a friend of mine named Joe Horn, who recently wrote a book called Time Bomb. And I said, Joe, I need these statistics. I need this X and Y and these percentages. And I'm going to really need that to be able to bring this point home. And he said, the problem, Mark, is people are going to hear those percentages, and you're going to say 3 out of 5 women will develop this. And the people that are in here hearing that, thinking that they don't have that disease, would think, whew, skirted that one. And then he gave me this statement. And he said, as many as 80% of Americans are carrying a time bomb medical crisis in their bodies right now, unaware that they will soon develop prolonged illness. Oh, that became different. That became a different thing. Now it's unaware. So, maybe. Maybe when we talk about sickness, illness, do you want to get well? It may not just be these diseases, these cancers. Maybe it's spiritual. The point of that quote is not to scare people to think, oh no, maybe that's 4 out of 5 people. Now it's different. That was 3 out of 5. Now we're at 4 out of 5. Our churches in America are sick. Many churches are a festering sore that refuses to heal. I think we all could agree that as a whole, as a culture, as individuals, we are not well. Today I'm going to ask you the same question that Jesus asked in John 5. In fact, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. I'm going to ask you this exact same question that Jesus asked. Do you want to get well? You'll see it up on your screens. Up on the screen or in your Bible. He says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porticos. Some of your passages will say porches. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "Is it the Sabbath and is it not permissible for you to carry your pallet? And it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Oh man, love this story. So what I want to do is I want to unpack this just a little bit. And I want to put this, you guys are going to see that my mind is just like, I think if I could produce a movie of the Bible, I think we could really get it. Not that you can't get it from reading it, but I'm a real visual person. And so what I want to do, I need 5 volunteers. Come on. And I need Jim Posey, who's going to be an angel of the Lord. Jim, people laughed at some of that. Come on. Seriously, I need 5 people. Okay, we got 1, 2, 3. Two more, I'm a youth pastor. I can hang out for a long time. I don't like Mr. Goodbar. Okay, Josh, you coming?
Come on.
Okay, so.
Come on, Joel.
We met at Garments of Praise. Remind me your name. Evan. Okay, so Evan is our first infirmed, okay? So you all are infirmed people, except Jim is an angel of the Lord, okay? So stick with me. So Evan, make up something that's going to make you really bad. Like, what is it you have? You have Evanitis, okay? So he's got Evanitis, and Evanitis, so come over here, Evan. So Evan's over here on the porch. Okay, now, your friends brought you in. They brought you into the porch because Evan can't even walk, even though he's walking here. So Evan, find a spot maybe close to the Pool of Bethesda that you want to be, okay? Perfect, okay? And your name?
Josh.
Josh, okay. Josh, what do you have? Is it worse than his?
Yeah.
Okay, so Josh is worse than Evan. Now, I'm one of your buddies, got you in here, so you can't even walk because Evan couldn't even walk. Where do you want me to put you? Now keep in mind, tradition says first person in. So you're worse than him. Where do you want to be? Yeah, okay, or, hang with me, Evan. Okay, so move with me. Okay, so, or we just move Evan and we put you right here, right? Because I'm not making fun of a person who is crippled here. I'm putting this into perspective for you. Evan can't do anything about the fact that I just picked him up and moved him, right? Because, now, okay, and what's your name?
Lynn.
Now, Lynn doesn't have it so bad. But to Lynn, it's the worst. Why is it the worst to Lynn? Because it's hers. See, Lynn has it worse than these guys because it's Lynn's, right? You with me on this? Okay, so.
Can I go move him?
You go do whatever you got to do. So just put yourself. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, and what's your name? Steve? Okay, Steve, what do you got?
I thought I was really bad until I got here and saw this guy.
Okay, but you're already here,
yes.
So you may, who knows, maybe they're going to heal too today, right?
Right?
Okay, so you go find your place or whatever. No. Now, Evan, yeah, you're like, this is perfect. Can you guys see Evan? Like, if you can see how he, man, you're living it. This is perfect. Like, you're just kind of down here like this. So, Evan, how are you feeling right this second? Because you got up early this morning to get to the Pool of Bethesda because you heard that it was one of the seasons where the angel of the Lord was going to trouble the water. And you're like, man, this is it. I'm here today. We're going to do this. Okay? But so far, buddy, you're pushed back. And between the two of you, you pretty much probably have it the worst. Okay? And what's your name?
Mickey.
Mickey? Okay, Mickey, where are you at on this whole scale? Are you really bad, really good?
I'll just stand over there. I'm not that bad.
Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Yeah, okay. So, now, the way this works is when the water gets troubled, okay, so troubling of this water, an angel of the Lord, different sword you carry, okay? When the water gets kicked, in this case, troubled, then it's the first one to get their hand in here wins. I have a prize today. You're going to love it, okay? So the first one who gets the prize. Now, I know that Jim does student ministry, so this is where it's going to be. So where are we at on this? So you're an angel of the Lord. You trouble the water at whatever point you feel that the water needs troubled, and you all need to be in there, and then the first one in wins the prize. Well, it was hot from the mop sink. Okay, wait, yeah, so.
You kicked it.
There was a ripple.
Okay, there we go. Yes, perfect. Okay, so. Our volunteers can be seated. Thank you very much. You can't leave this on the whole time or it'll mess with my brain injury, but there's your fun necklace. Here you go. And there's the second part to it. Yeah. There you go. Okay. Give it up for our volunteers. Now think through this. Thank you very much. But think through this. Like, there's a lot going on in this story. And wow. How did they do this? Evan got here first. Evan got there first, yet people moved him. He got moved twice. Other people, maybe they were just there for the social aspect of it. I don't know. But I believe that the people that were there had a hope of healing. We see in verse 3, it said, "In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters." Now the feast that is referenced here, it says in verse 1, it says, "After these things, there was a feast of the Jews." The feast that's referenced here is under debate, which feast this actually was. Many believe it's probably one of the three major feasts. It was that required attendance: Passover, Pentecost, or Purim. Are the beliefs of this. The Pool of Bethesda has actually been excavated in an area just north of the temple, and it's found to have these five porches, these five porticos on it. And I was going to put a picture of this up here, but I decided for me, I need to be able to see it how the Lord has given it to me versus how it looks now with all these other things built up around it, because it's just a lot for me. If you want to, Abraham Lincoln said you can trust anything on the internet. So if you want to, you can... Yeah, so if you want to, you can actually search today Pool of Bethesda, and it'll pull up this cool thing, and it's way deeper than I was even thinking as I was looking at this. But we read here that when an angel of the Lord went down, if you were the first to step in, that you were made well. And these people were hanging out at this pool, gathered there with this hope of healing. And no one really knows how these people were healed. Maybe God honored a release of their faith, or maybe it was merely a hopeful legend. Regardless of what it was, the Bible tells us of a great multitude of sick people believed it. You may not know this about me. Some of you that have heard my story before may know that this past Monday, the 14th of May, I began a journey in my life of some pretty intense sickness. 3 years ago, this past Monday, I was a place in my life where I wasn't very well. I was driving along Interstate 70 in Kansas, and I was going probably somewhere between 75 and 80 miles an hour. It had just begun to rain a little bit. I was traveling eastbound, and I was the only one in the car, and I hit some water. And so still traveling at that speed, I'm now facing southbound. And the front left quarter panel of my car hit a speed limit sign, and now I'm traveling at the same speed backwards. And if you're a race fan at the Cabela's Kansas Speedway, that whole area right there, there's a bridge for the I-435 and the steel undergirders. I crushed up underneath that bridge. In fact, I think there's a picture that they're going to show you. Just kind of put that in a little bit better perspective for you. So 3 years ago, Monday. Yeah. 3 years ago, Monday, I began this point where I wasn't very well. From the time the call was made until the time that they actually arrived at the hospital, I think it was 16 minutes to actually pull me out, cut me out, and take me to the hospital. That is nothing but the hand of God. I broke ribs 1 through 8 on my left side. Rib 1 was seatbelt. Ribs 2 through 8 were my scapula coming down and crushing those ribs. I had a traumatic brain injury. I had a level 2 splenic laceration. I had what they call gamekeeper's thumb. I had 6 nerve palsy. This was a big deal. After having been there for many days and them saying, no, it's just some broken ribs. They changed the perspective of the way in which they were x-raying me, and what they thought were broken ribs like this were ribs that were crossed like this. And then they go, oh, we need to put a chest tube in this guy. And they immediately pulled out a 2-liter bottle of fluid from my lungs. So I can actually have this conversation with you today with a little bit of authority of, do you want to get well? And I don't just mean physically. So we begin this journey and the question of, do you want to get well? And I thought I really did. I thought I wanted to get well in my healing, in my journey. I was going 5 days a week to 6 different doctors or therapists all day, every day. I did intense physical therapy in a 2-week period of time with no gap. If you've ever done physical therapy, you know you need that gap day or those 2 days of gap for your body to recover. But in an effort to get better and get better faster, we just did it every day for about 3 hours every day. This was an intense time of healing. Or was it? Because I thought I was going to actually get better. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been hurt by a person? Or have you ever been hurt by someone you loved? Or have you ever been hurt by the church? Whew. Maybe that same question for you today is, do you want to get well? I love this from Psalm 39, 4 through 5, and then verse 7. It says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Oh, man. Now, in this journey, in this story from John chapter 5, I also think point number 2 is that they were patient in the process. Verse 4 on this passage, some of you, as I was reading this verse 4, you saw it on the screens. It had these brackets on it. For some of you, it isn't even in your Bible. It says 3, then it says 5. And it's not in all of the manuscripts, but nevertheless, the truth of the perception of healing received by being first in the water was also demonstrated in the words from John 5:7, where the sick man answered him, Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Now the Bible says specifically here that at a certain time, again, we believe this to be at a feast time. It's not that this is always happening, but people would gather at these certain times expecting the healing. Now, this isn't the only occasion of an unusual healing in the Bible. 2 Kings, there were some that were healed by a purified pot of stew. 2 Kings again, Naaman was healed by the washing in the Jordan River. One was healed by the touching of bones of Elisha in 2 Kings. In Acts, some were healed by Peter's shadow falling on them. And then in Acts 19, Paul's handkerchief. So this isn't an unusual situation here, but this is a very interesting thing. Now, going back to the story of my journey, during this time of my accident, I was dealing with some other hurt in my life too. Anybody ever been sick on top of being sick? You know, like, well, I had a cold and then I got this. Or I was doing fine and then I hurt my foot. Or whatever it is. But see, I was dealing with, in my life, some other hurts. I had worked for this church, I told you, for 12 years. And I felt that I had been wronged by some people that were at the church. No, that's hard to believe, right? Isn't it hard to believe that a church could ever wrong someone? And in fact, we're going to dive hard into that next week. We're going to dig really deep into that. And again, my journey, my story of how to reconcile. But during this time, I really just wanted Jesus to fix all of my problems instantly. You know, someone said, well, God healed you. God saved you. That's what they said. God saved you from that wreck. You saw the picture. I think we could argue that God saved me. Except here was my response, and I meant it. He sure could have done a better job. Whew. Let that sink in for a second. You saw the picture. Well, God saved you. Well, he could have done a better job. So I thought. So I truly thought that God could have done a better job because I wanted to just get up from that wreck and lift up my arms in victory and say, next time you best bring kryptonite. Because that was what I expected to happen. Exodus 4:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I discovered in this journey, in this dichotomy of the gospel, that we are to fight the Lord's battles all day, every day, yet our own battles, we are to be still and let God fight for us. Well, not only did this man have a hope of healing and was patient in the process, but he was ready to respond. Now, what's interesting is, as we look at this passage, as we look at what's going on here, there's this man who had this infirmity for how long? 38 years. This is a long time. He suffered a paralytic condition and apparently was frequently at this pool of Bethesda with a hope of healing. Now, Jesus sees him lying there, and for some reason, Jesus selected this man among the great multitude of sick people. Why did God choose to save my life? Because when my wife met that highway patrolman at the hospital, he said, ma'am, people don't live through this. When we see these kinds of accidents, we slow down because there's never anyone alive. Why did God choose me? I don't know. Why did God choose this man? I don't know. Except he's not finished with me. Because my prayer every morning is, Lord, would you allow me to bring glory to you today? And I think that's why he saved this man. So this multitude of needy people are there, yet none of them looked to Jesus. There's a great quote, you'll see it up behind me, from Charles Spurgeon. He says, a blindness had come over those people at the pool. They were there, and there was Christ who could heal them. But not a single one of them sought him. Their eyes were fixed on the water, expecting it to be troubled. They were so taken up by their own chosen way that the true way was neglected. Whew. Spurgeon goes on, he pictures this multitude waiting around the waters of the pool, all of them waiting, and instead of them looking to Jesus, he thought of how foolish this waiting is for many people, and he says that some wait for more convenient season, some wait for dreams and visions, and some wait for signs and wonders, some wait to be compelled, some wait for revival, some wait for particular feelings, some wait for a celebrity. So the question that Jesus asks here, do you want to be made well? It was a sincere question. This was a real, legitimate question. Jesus knew that every sick person wants to be healed, but that some are so discouraged that they put away all hope of being healed. This man's heart may have been just as withered as his legs. Wow. We don't know why he asked this particular man. I'll tell you, if I were making a movie of this scene, thought a lot about it, what this movie really goes to. And I think I would have, because you always got to lead up. You always got to show kind of what's going on. And you're going to show this guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm going back to the pool. You know, and then his friends are like, it's been 38 years, and that's never worked for you. And all of this just naysaying going on. But this guy's like, well, I'm just going to go because, you know, money's good out there. Money's good for the beggars. So I'm gonna head down to the Pool of Bethesda. And I'd start setting that up, but then I think I'd pan over to some high school kids getting their backpacks ready for school. And I think in this, they'd be talking and be like, hey, it's that certain season again. All the cripples are gonna be at the Pool of Bethesda. Get your rocks on the way to school. This is going to be funny. Okay? So then they're going to be coming from school. They're going to be walking by the Pool of Bethesda because you've got all these people in the Pool of Bethesda waiting for the stirring of water, just like it happened here. Man, if I were one of those kids from Jerusalem High, I'd reach into my backpack and I would have gotten a big one. I would have gotten this good rock that was going to make a lot of waves. You guys know where this is going because some of you totally would do the same. And when no one was looking, I'd take that rock and I'd throw it over the fence. Thunk! And everybody starts like, and people are just going and they're rolling. Like, and I thought about this morning. If you can't walk, like, so this man says, no one can carry me. That even says further about his condition. Because some people could roll, like you could roll into this, you could crawl into this. This man needs to be carried. But someone steps. You see that? Someone steps in front of me, going back to this whole scenario that we created here, that you had the worst problem to yourself. And by the way, you won. But you know what I'm saying? Like yeah, I got your necklace to prove it. And so in this, wow. So that's what I do. I totally have all these false alarms. And then the argument. I didn't touch the water. It moved, right? Because that's what we heard. It moved. The water moved. So I'd be seeing this. And then could you imagine the discouragement? Because if you knew you were the first one that had rolled in there, flopped in there, jumped in there, hopped in there, whatever it was, and you weren't made well, it obviously wasn't the angel of the Lord. Or an angel of the Lord. Oh, man. So, while all these people are discouraged, I then would pan to this angel of the Lord. And God would go like that. And the angel of the Lord would say, and while all these people are discouraged, water's troubled, and it happens again. Oh, and it's loud, and it's uproarious, and people are just going, and they're trying. And because they waited so long, I think, just like when I go to the mailbox, I keep going, and like never has there been a check that like pays off my mortgage in my mailbox. But I keep going every day. And maybe one day it will be. But as they're there, then back here is this guy. While all of that noise is happening around him, and you see the splashing of water in the background, all of that noise, and Jesus then says to him, do you want to get well? To which he immediately was ready to respond, sir, I have no man to put me in the water. And we often read this in a positive tone, like, how can I get well? Oh man, if it were me, I would have been so frustrated. I don't have anybody to put me in the water. I'd get mad. I'd be irritated about this. Because this man has this interesting case of hope mixed with hopelessness. He showed up at the pool, but he knew that he could never make it to the water in time. Wow. During this journey of mine after my car wreck, I was in the same situation. I wanted to get better, but I didn't really think that it could happen. I was clinically depressed. I had clinical levels of anxiety. I had military levels of PTSD. I had a traumatic brain injury. I was addicted to narcotics. And my Christian brothers and sisters would occasionally drop me, "Hey, Mark, I was just reading this article on Dr. Google about traumatic brain injuries," to which they obviously didn't read it because it was a hopeless article. By the time I'm 50, some articles say, my brain won't even really be able to function. It's 10 years for me. That's what these people are sending me to encourage me, because there's hope. John Calvin put it this way: the sick man does what we nearly all do. He limits God's help to his own ideas and does not dare promise himself more than he conceives in his mind. I could take you to the point right this second on Rock Creek Drive in Tonganoxie, Kansas, when I was walking with my daughter Sophie, when this verse and when Jesus asked me, "Do you want to get well?" Oh, I had heard it for so many times. I had heard it so often. We've all heard this story before. You're like, really? We're going to talk about the Pool of Bethesda again today, Mark? I had heard it so many times, but it was not until I realized that I was sick that I answered that question in the affirmative, and I realized that every single one of us have to answer that question in the affirmative. Do you want to get well? Because it was at that point, was that line of demarcation in my life that truly began healing in my life, not just physical. Oh, wow. It was amazing. Well, when Jesus told this man, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." See, being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to rise or to take up his mat. But at this moment, Jesus challenged the man to believe him for the impossible. Wow. He said, "Take up your mat," because he wanted to prove to this guy that it was permanent, that this was real. You've just had an encounter with the Most High God. Now, to be completely transparent, that was the passage that I was always hung up with when I was sick. This word "immediately." Oh, man. Immediately. I wanted immediately in my life. I did my part and I answered the question. Jesus said, "Do you want to get well?" I said, "Yeah, I can take you to the mailbox that I was standing right next to when Jesus asked Mark Scribner, 'Do you want to get well?' And I said, 'Yes.' And I fully expected the Shekinah glory of the Lord to come and this, and all of this stuff to just be happening right there. And then just boom." And it was months of counseling, months of therapy. And I can take you to the point on I-70 between Topeka and Tonganoxie, Kansas, where the Lord spoke to me again. And he said, "Mark, it is with complete arrogance that you think that the person that you were before your wreck is better than the person that I have made you to be right now." Let that sink in for a second. For those of you that are sitting here pilfering through the carpet, looking for crumbs of yesteryear's revival from this church, Looking for things that used to happen. Looking for things that used to be. Skills and abilities that you used to have. Let me tell you, you are limiting God by even believing that what he could do right now is less than what he did in the past. That'll preach. I'm telling you. Wow. It was a few months ago. With tears in my eyes, I looked at my wife and I said, this has been a rough go. It's been a rough 2.5 years of our life. 50% of marriages that are involved in a traumatic brain injury end after 2 years. 50%. With tears in my eyes, I told my wife, I said, if I had to do this all over again, including the level of pain that it took to get to this point, I'd do it because of the person who God has turned me in to be today. So, as you look at this, and you look at what this guy was doing at the very end, he was proudly proclaiming. He was proudly proclaiming what was happening. See, I firmly believe, because there's some commentarians who believe that this guy threw Jesus under the bus when he said, oh, it was Jesus that healed me. I don't think so. I think this guy for 38 years had not been able to walk. I've got a picture of what I think the guy looked like. This is totally what I think this guy was doing at the Pool of Bethesda, which is why they were saying, you can't do that. You can't jump. You can't run. You can't click your heels together. But he did. He did because he was proudly proclaiming. I think that he was excited. I'm going to show you this last verse from John 20, verse 30 through 31. And this is an actual copy from my Bible. Here's what I think happened. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that were not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. Amen? So I ask you this question. Kent, we're going to go into a time of invitation here. And I ask you this question. Are you telling others about what God has done in your life? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm just telling you, let's just get real. I don't think that there would be any blanks in these pews if we were truly proclaiming what God is doing in our life. Because I'm telling you, God is active. God is doing things. Is he doing it in your life? Maybe, maybe not. Are you letting him? Maybe, maybe not. Are you wanting to get well? So, as we go into this invitation, I'm just going to ask you this question. Are you believing Jesus for the impossible today? When I first put down this message and the thoughts of it and what we were going to do, I was going to give you a caveat and say, because we love to do this in Baptist churches, we love to say, now I don't want to say that Jesus is going to heal you physically today, but I don't want to limit that either. So I don't know what God's going to do in your life. I just know that many of us are sick. We're sick. And maybe today, for the first time, you want to get well. I don't know how you guys do it here for your invitation. But as the instrumentalists play, as we sing, Maybe you want to come up here. Maybe this is the ceremonial portico for you, where you make that decision to be made well. Let's take this a step further. Maybe the person that you came with doesn't even really know that they need to be made well. So you help them to that porch this morning.
Oh, we can't do that in church.
Wow. Wow. What if that were the case? I think it starts with answering that question. Do you want to be made well? Spiritually? Physically, emotionally, in your church. I'm telling you, if we would allow God to heal us at the level in which He has healed me, not only from physical hurt, but from church hurt, we couldn't keep these pews not filled. They'd be filled all the time. So Jim will be here. If you need to respond, if you need to come, and you just need to ceremonially say to the Lord, I want to be made well. Or maybe you just need to do that here. But let's do that. Let's do some business with God. If you'd stand, I'll be over here if someone needs to talk to me.
Much thought gain I have counted lost, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Thank you all very much. Thanks for letting me just share what God has put on my heart. I mean it. You answer that question in the affirmative. Oh, and you're going to see some healing. There's going to be some healing. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's crazy painful. Healing isn't just this amazing wow. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, wow. It's dirty. It's messy. painful. But I'd do it all again to be the person that he has made me to be.